Hello and welcome to Talk Saratoga. We have a special guest with us this evening, Linda D'Ambrosio from California. And she flew all the way from California to be here with us today. Good evening, Linda.
Good evening, Rick. It's great to be on with you today.
Well, I'm glad you agreed to do this because we met through a friend who was here in Saratoga in May, and we've just been conversing for so long that I feel like I know you. And
yes,
you know,
same here.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little history, or you know, and how then you can move into how you got into liking David Cassidy.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. So I was very quiet as a young person and very shy to the point where even raising my hand in class was a big stretch for me. And when David Cassidy came on the scene with the Partridge Family, it inspired me to come out of my shell. And I started to pursue acting and music and singing. And I saw this amazing family on the Partridge Family that I wasn't satisfied with just being on TV, even though he came into the living rooms and hearts of people all over the world. I wasn't happy with just accepting it at that. So I felt that if I was able to develop myself and my talents, maybe I could develop, you know, presence in the entertainment field as well and meet incredible people like I saw on TV on some of my favorite shows, but obviously I'm partial to the Partridge Family because of David Cassidy and his reach with just spreading love throughout the world.
You know, he really did. And I think part of the appeal of the show anyway was how the family interacted. And the cast,
absolutely.
The cast, you couldn't have put together a better cast, even with his stepmother as the head of the family. And I know David had a good relationship with her. And I know on that special on A&E that we talked about, he said he really didn't see a lot of her after the or before the show, but they were close. I mean, they had a good relationship.
Yes, it was obvious that they had a very good bond. And it's interesting because as I'm starting to meet more David Cassidy followers as I go through life, it's amazing to hear some of their stories and some of their testimonies because there's a song that hits me pretty hard. It's called Soft as a Summer Shower. And it speaks so well for the presence that he had in people's lives and how he took up space in their heart. In many cases, a very critical time for them. Soft as a summer shower, there's a lyric in there that says, and you came just in time. And for so many people, David Cassidy came into their lives and their hearts just in time. And some people experience some very dark places. I know for myself, I was one of those individuals that had an absentee parent. My dad was always out at sea and I would infrequently see him. But when he was at home, he was an absentee parent emotionally, and he had some illnesses that made it really difficult as well. But David Cassidy became that example for so many people of a loving man and one that would give us hope. And through his music, it was always very healing as well.
Well, most definitely. And I also think that he appealed to not only girls that went wild.
Absolutely.
Over him, but it even got boys like me. I mean, I was a teenager, and in 70 I graduated. So but it was kind of like a safe show because back in the 60s the country was changing. We went from the 50s, which was kind of like an ideal decade with Leave It to Beaver and Fathers Knows Best. And really, it was kind of a safe decade into the 60s when there was so much turmoil with the Vietnam War and the protests in colleges. And the show came on at a perfect time because it was a safe show to watch. I mean, as far as a good comedy and great music and a good feeling, you know, that you had watching the show. And I think that helped get a lot of young adults, teenagers, and even young adults feeling good.
Absolutely. And he did appeal to males and females alike. There were, you know, guys that felt like they wanted to be like him someday. David was very relatable individual, and even to kids' parents as well, because many parents were absolutely against their kids having long hair until they saw David on the Partridge Family wearing long hair. And then all of a sudden it became okay to do that. But there were people all across the board that admired him in the music industry and the motion picture industry, et cetera. He definitely was an inspiration to so many people in so many areas, for sure.
Well, he was. And I'll tell you, just one of the things when we were talking about what memories did I have of David Cassidy, meeting him in person, was I'm a security guard at the track for the 6 weeks during the meet. And of course, David was there for the whole 6 weeks because of his love for horses. And he lived in Saratoga for a while, had a summer place up here with his family. And every time he came in, you know, he'd for the first time of the year, he'd come and give me a hug. And boy, Rick, it's nice to see you again. And you know, he made you feel comfortable. And all the people that wanted their picture taken with him from our generation, it amazed me. So he even had a reach of people or touched people's lives for 40 or 50 years.
Oh, absolutely. And it's really exciting to see the younger generation getting a hold of his music. There's a couple in the UK that sing David Cassidy songs, and they do it well, and they just have a special heart for him.
Yep.
Because he instilled that love in them as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, like I was talking with you, I still listen. I have his music on my playlist. I love the music, and every time I hear a song, it just reminds me of that, of Susan Day and Danny and I think, wasn't the little one his brother, or am I mistaken there in the show?
Not in real life.
Okay.
Danny Bonaducci, though, has been a special friend of David for many years, and David has been just an incredible blessing in Danny's life, and then Danny has also been in David's life, and he actually feels like that was his brother. They had a very amazing brotherly, you know, relationship with each other, and he always looked up to David, and David actually helped him get a job later in life, and they kept in touch with each other and just had that really incredible bond with each other as well, which I'm thankful for. People like that reached out to David and were incredible blessings to him in so many ways, and they were in his corner as you were. I appreciate that. I know that you shared with me that David would always give you a big hug, and he always recognized genuine people. They meant a lot to him. And sometimes in certain industries, you don't run into a lot of that. But when he did, he didn't take it for granted, for sure. I'm so excited about some of his friends in Saratoga, like Jerry and Diane Belinsky. Jerry was his veterinarian for his horses, and Gary and Jen Contessa were his trainers for his horses, Gary was, and they really were there for David. And I just feel like, just like with his band, that they extended their hearts to him, and you did. And I'm so excited to meet you in person and see you during the meet, because that means a lot to me as well.
Well, yeah, and you know, you hit it on the head where people in his profession or, you know, down to earth movie stars or that, they meet a lot of phony people. Everybody wants to be their friend.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, he could really pick out the genuine people. And I mean, you know, I had no association with him other than at the racetrack, but for those 6 weeks we were friends. I mean, every day he walked by for the first time, he shook my hand and always asked how I was doing, and I would ask him how he's doing. And once in a while he would go on concert and he'd come back and I'd say, how did you do? And he'd said, you know, I love it. I did great. And his voice was good. And one of the things that amazed me was when he was doing that tribute album of his father's favorite songs just before he passed away, he had a real shaky voice, but you could tell that he had a good singing voice even at that point.
Yes, absolutely. And it's because his heart shined through, his voice. That was what's different about David, and also why I believe it would be impossible to be, impersonator of his music on stage, because it can't be duplicated, the magic that he was able to communicate.
Oh my gosh, no, no. He had that certain panache when he was performing, and I think that's why nobody can come close to people that followed him after music. I love the Moody Blues and I loved Queen, but he had a way about presence about him on stage that he could belt the song out and put people in a frenzy because of not only his voice, but the way he acted on stage. I mean, he was a special, unique person.
Absolutely. And he was truly appreciative of his fans.
Oh,
he just mentioned before that to hear like thousands of people say, I love you at the same time, just blew him away. And he never didn't appreciate that. I reflect on one of the first times I met David, and I had more of an opportunity to do that probably because of being in the Los Angeles area. And as I mentioned to you, I wasn't satisfied with just seeing the Partridge Family in my living room on TV, but I wanted to meet them in real life. One of the times I met David was after his recording session, and he always took time to say hi and talk. And another time was when he was doing a rock and roll guest star on KHJ Radio during the week, where Elton John and Alice Cooper and all of them had been the guest DJ. And again, I think that was actually the first time I met him, and he was very generous with his time. But I guess one of the benefits of my dad always being away at sea was that we'd go pick him up down at the port when his ship would come in. And when I learned that the Partridge Family was going to be doing a shoot on a cruise ship, I first was going to write a letter to the cruise ship company to go and inspect the ship, of course, so I'd get to meet them. And my mom didn't think that was a very good idea. I was 14 years old, so I had to be a little bit more creative. So I said, let's just all go down to the port. So it was me, my mom, Betty, and my sister Debbie, and we just all went down to the port. And sure enough, there came Partridges off one by one, just like you see them walking at the beginning of the show. It was almost surreal because they came walking off the ship. And I can't say that I remember seeing David from a distance because time stood still. And he had signed a piece of paper that I had signed a couple times before when we had met. And on that piece of paper, he was running out of space. He did say, this is going to be the last time I'm going to sign this piece of paper. And I was crushed because I thought it sounded so final, I would never see him again. And he was so sensitive that he quickly corrected that. And he said, it's because that paper is filled up and there's no more room on it. But when he said, it's the last time I'm going to sign that, I just thought I was crushed. But he sensed that, that about me. And he just instantly corrected it. And he was so wonderful. And I thought, what do I have to lose? Because if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, your dreams can come true if you at least take action on them. And I asked if it would be okay to visit the Partridge Family set. And within a month or so, there I was on the set visiting. And he was just as gracious as he was before and just as wonderful. That was getting toward the end of when he had an incredible schedule of getting up early in the morning, going to the set, recording, and doing concerts weekends. But he still was so wonderful and sensitive and appreciative of everything.
Well, you were very fortunate.
Yeah.
You were very fortunate to be out there so that you could, you know, be around him that much. That's fantastic. Well, listen, we had an event in May 20th, and that was a special day. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that day is? And it's going to continue in Saratoga every year.
Yeah, so it was a very exciting event that started, you know, one of the goals that I had was, and dreams come true that we'll talk about a little bit later, is I wanted the band, David Cassidy's band, and just incredibly special friends and wonderful support system to continue on beyond the time that he passed. And I started exploring some opportunities, talked to Jerry Belinsky, and he gave me some organizations that we'll get into too. And it turned out that this opened the door for working on a concert. But little did I know that this fiery redhead halfway across the U.S. in Mishawaka, Indiana, was working on this way to honor David's legacy. And she called all over the country. And I just loved that she was so relentless and she didn't leave a stone unturned. And she decided that it would be great to honor him with a memorial bench. But she called several people and they said, we don't do that. And then she connected with Barry Weisbord. And he said, stick to racing. That's where David's heart's at in Saratoga. And sure enough, she called the National Museum of Racing, and they were all on board. They handled everything very professionally. They're very supportive, where all the funds went directly to them. And before we knew it, it just turned out that May 20th was the day that they elected to have this event done. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you that up until the last hour before this event took place, we didn't know how it was going to go because we just was thrown a lot of things from left field between everything from the food venue to the music syncing up and everything that was going to make this event successful. We changed venues. We got new caterers. And it turned out the celebration to be an incredible packed house, standing room only, no room for anybody else. It was just incredible. And we did that at the Spa City Tap and Barrel. So they were so amazing to just step up to the plate last moment. And we had this incredible event to honor David. And we decided the mayor wants to make it an annual event, which is called David Cassidy Day. But Susan Samantha Cox was working on this. And we connected on the phone. And she became one of what we call the core four. And it was four people that got together when David, his health was being severely challenged. And he expressed that he was very appreciative of this group because we met every Sunday afternoon for the four David Cassidy conference call. And this group is called Sunday Afternoon with David's Fans and Friends. And long after he's gone now, he's still uniting people together. And so Susan Samantha Cox is part of that group as well. And so we're planning the upcoming May 20th event, mm-hmm. and that's exciting. And I just fell in love with Saratoga. When we came into town, I picked Susan up. We're heading down to Saratoga Springs for the first time, mm-hmm. and it turned out, ironically, to be the same weekend as the graduation for Skidmore College.
Okay.
So traffic slowed, and because of my background in law enforcement, I thought, well, maybe they're doing a DWI check. And sure enough, it was a line of different police officers that had everything so organized that it was like parking at Disneyland. It was so streamlined. So I went to the first officer, and they assigned me to officer number 7. I drove down a little bit, and we're incredibly excited about why we're here. And usually, you know, I volunteered at DOI checkpoints in the past, and people are not happy and cheerful. They're freaked out because they pretty much flew into a spider's web.
Sure.
And before the officer could say anything to me, I said, hi, I was so excited to see her. And I think I could just tell by her reaction that she's like, I think we have a hold of someone here. And I'm going to keep talking to her to see if her speech is slurred. And I think we're going to have to pull her over. So she said, why are you here? Where are you from? I said, California. Susan said she was from Indiana. And I said, we're excited because we were here for David Cassidy. And we're having a celebration event. And that just opened up the green light because the whole town just loved David. Mm-hmm. And then they realized why we were there. And that turned out to be a special experience.
Well, that's great.
But I know you were talking about his music earlier, and, you know, I'm so thankful that I got to meet David. I didn't get to experience the frenzy of a David Cassidy concert, which would have been really wonderful to have that experience. But it's amazing because one of this group of the Core Four, her name is Erica Brenner, and she actually went to a David Cassidy concert with her sister and her parents. They couldn't hear a word, but they got to see David, you know, on stage. And to be able to kind of live that experience through here was really incredible. Well, she did ask her parents on the way home if all concerts are like that. And her mom said, what do you mean? And she said, well, you just go and see people moving, but you can't hear what they're saying, of course, because over 10,000 people are screaming at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing how he touched so many lives. And we have one other person. Her name is Monica Vetter-Morell. And she's part of the Core Four, and she was inspired to learn how to sing because of David Cassidy. So now she sings, and she teaches singing, and she plays guitar, and she's a worship leader, and she sings on our call every Sunday, and she's such an incredible blessing because there's so many, you know, people. We're all broken in some way or another, mm-hmm. but with this call, we get to play David's music and listen to his words and inspiration that he spoke, and hopefully lift each other up. And it's turned out to be a really wonderful experience for everybody.
Isn't it? And I mean, there's always something in our life that we can go back to when we were younger that made us feel better. And for so many people, it was that music.
Absolutely.
And it really is amazing. I mean, looking back at some of the footage of his concerts and that, I mean, the tens and tens of thousands of people. I mean, I know groups sell out like Madison Square Garden today, but he continually sold out every venue he went to. And they were very large venues, too. And
absolutely.
It's amazing. Well, from May 20th, you have something coming up in August that's very special. And why don't you touch on that?
I am so incredibly, I feel really blessed, and I feel super privileged to have the opportunity to work with David Cassidy's band and the special guests that will be at this really historic event, because and it's going to be really special. I'm sure there will be very emotional. It'll be the first time that his band members have been together on stage and since the time that since he left for heaven, actually, mm-hmm. because I've had confirmation from his last text message. That's a whole nother show, but, mm-hmm. But that's where he's at. We're super excited about that. But it's going to be a really amazing tribute. It's a unique tribute because these will be members from his actual band. There's a lot of wonderful tributes out there to various artists, but they don't include necessarily members from their actual band.
Sure.
So I'm excited about this. And David has loved horses since he was just, I guess you could say, knee high to a grasshopper. his grandparents really took him under their wings and instilled that love for horses. His grandfather took him to the track a lot. And that's where he developed his really incredible, you know, foundation of his spiritual roots as well. And, you know, I mentioned Monica earlier, and one of my goals is that she's going to sing it at the church where David Cassidy actually performed in the choir. And so that's going to be a whole nother event.
Oh,
hopefully that'll
nice.
Be tied into one of the David Cassidy Days events.
Yeah.
But this is happening to benefit the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And what this organization does is they give homes to retired thoroughbred racehorses after their time on the track is done. And so they give them an incredible long life. Many of them have lived into their late 20s, 30s. And what's really unique about this organization is they have what's called the Second Chance Program. So this Second Chance Program not only gives a second chance to these amazing racehorses, it also is, the farms are based at correctional facilities where the inmates get to participate in the care of the horses. Many of them have gone on to be farriers. They've lived productive lives afterwards. There was even one inmate that was ready to get released, and he said, "I really don't want to leave jail because this program is so..."
Linda?
Hello.
Yeah. They named a race after David, too, didn't they?
Yeah, that's coming up on the 18th as well. It's a day that he always loved being at the race, and also it's called Alabama Day. And
now, is any of his family going to be up, or is this strictly a kind of like a fan-based event?
I don't know. I know they're aware of it. I don't know if it'll work out with their schedules to attend or attend both events, but we're hoping that they'll be part of the race day on the 18th,
or someone represented,
that be named after him.
Sure. Yeah, that would be nice. And I, you know, I'm looking forward to that also. And I know the venue did a lot to put this together also, didn't they? The Horseshoe Inn.
The venue, meaning the racetrack.
The Horseshoe Inn. Didn't they donate the place
for
the
night?
Oh,
yes, absolutely. My nickname for Charlie is Charlie Horse. And the way that came to be was I was talking to Susan Samantha Cox, and I said that I'll be talking to Charlie. I called him Charlie Horseshoe at first, but I was laughing halfway through the talk. And so my nickname stuck at Charlie Horse. So Charlie is a wonderful person. And he donated the venue in Saratoga Springs. It's the Horseshoe Inn, and that's where the concert will be on August 14th, starting at 8 p.m. We encourage people to get there early. There'll be a lot of traffic. And so we're excited about it, and we hope that people will commit to getting their tickets while they're still available. Because, as you know, he sold out stadiums, and this is a wonderful way to honor him as well.
Most definitely. And it is a fundraiser. And as you said, the proceeds will go to the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, which is also, that is such a great piece of work, what they do, that they get a lot of attention up here in Saratoga because, people always wonder what happens to horses after they get through racing.
Absolutely.
And the more people are made aware of what they actually, where they actually go and how they're taken care of. And I think that's what David envisioned too, to make more people aware of how well they're taken care of in places like this. And I think that's why he loved aftercare so much. So
absolutely, he cared greatly so much about the horses. Yeah. I do have to ask you a question. I wanted to find out what your favorite David Cassidy song was.
Oh boy, you know that's like the five questions that we like to ask our guests at the show, at the end of our shows, because you have to think about it. But I'd say that my favorite show or my favorite song was "How Can I Be Sure." I play that one over and over, even today.
Yep.
Now I'm going to reverse the question. What's your favorite song?
Well, like you, it's hard because we have so many favorites, but I'll name a couple of them. I already did earlier, "Soft as a Summer Shower," but "Could It Be Forever" has to be my all-time favorite because I love the fact that David answered that question yes before he left. Mm-hmm. But Love Must Be the Answer is also special. Some of the lyrics in that song is, I don't know, but I've been told the streets of heaven are paved with gold. And one time during our Sunday afternoon call, I started to play the song. I was interrupted by Monica because I didn't know that she had planned for everybody to sing happy birthday. So when I continued the song, it said the streets of heaven are paved with gold. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
So that's exciting too. But Could It Be Forever, I have to say, is my all-time favorite.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and like we said, it's very hard because all his songs are great. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
You know, and I don't think, and then, you know, besides his career as a musician, I mean, he always wanted to be on a serious side, and he was in Broadway and and on TV for a while. In other things, but I remember it was what was the famous one? He was in Joseph and the
Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yes, and he was very popular in that also.
And he played roles before the Partridge Family as well. He was in Bonanza for one, which was one of my favorite shows ever. So it was exciting to see him in Bonanza with horses. I'm sure he loved that. Actually, one of David's very favorite Partridge Family episodes is the one, there's a couple of them where he got to be in the role with horses or got to be the cowboy in the town. I'm sure he had a ball with that one.
Yeah,
well,
I'm sure he was fun no matter what he did. It was a pleasure to see him and not in person, but you know, while I was growing up, but just seeing him on TV just made you comfortable. I mean,
you know
that you could just sit back and enjoy listening to him sing, and the Partridge Family show was amazing. And one of the things in his biography that, I don't know what happened to my book because I got it years ago, and I'm trying to buy another one on eBay because it's you can't get it in print anymore. And my gosh, I'll tell you how his popularity is. The $11.95 book is selling on eBay for $90 to $150.
Oh yeah, well, and that's come down a lot because I've seen them for up there $1,400 right after David left, and that was pretty amazing. There was actually one fan of his that ordered the book before he passed away, and it was $95 at that point, and she got a letter from the person that was selling it saying that, I'm sorry, but, you know, the packaging opened up and the book is no longer available because it came out of the package. Sure, it was because the $1,400 price point was something that they wanted to take advantage of, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
well, I haven't been on to look at them lately. I marked it down as whatever you check on there, and they keep sending me emails. Three more have been listed, two more have been, but I'm afraid to go on there, so I haven't really checked prices out, but I know they're, I can imagine, you know, the price goes up, just like paintings. When someone passes away, their paintings, you know, quadruple in prices.
Absolutely. And David had such an incredible reach all around the world that people that are selling the books know that, but hopefully the prices will come down, but we have a goal to continue his legacy because of his incredible heart. And he continues to, just his music has a healing presence, and it always will. It's pretty much the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you could listen to his music. And thankfully, we lived in an age and time where the media and the audio and the video was captured in time. And we can go back and watch the episodes and some of the other shows he was in and listen to his music forever.
Exactly.
Which wouldn't be the case if this was earlier in the century.
Oh,
but
no, you're
we're
right.
So thankful that we have that opportunity.
And one of the things I found amazing was in that special was the, I don't know what position he held, but he had taped, and they were on cassette tapes, interviews with David. And
yes,
they were pretty neat interviews too, because they were as on a personal level, you know, one-on-one. And he just held a presence in a situation like that, that you really could feel for the guy. I mean, you knew what he just told it like it is. And, you know, it's just amazing. And they had never been heard before before that special. They were never made public.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm so glad that he has such a great collection of that too. And David, you know, he gave so much to people. You know, at one point he had a bigger fan base than Elvis or the Beatles, and he mm-hmm. was very well paid as a performer. And there were individuals that he, you know, loaned money to, and he didn't care about getting the money back. He just wanted those people to continue to be his friends. So he treasured his genuine friends so much that, he didn't want that to come between them, but he was. And if you see some of the pictures of him and animals, I think I mentioned that a little bit earlier. It's just really special because they all have a presence about them where they're so proud to be with David Cassidy.
Yeah.
And you could always tell a lot by how somebody is with animals and how he loves his mom is. Definitely, you know, what an incredible person that is. Yeah, he truly loved his mother so
much. He did. And that came through on that special. I mean, you could really tell. I mean, and plus when what hit my heartstrings was when he said he was holding her hand when she passed. And that kind of, you know, and you could, he started getting tears in his eyes. And so that was a special relationship there, too. And he didn't have an easy life either. He didn't have an easy life. And he pulled it together, and, you know, and you have what you have today. It's amazing. Amazing legacy that he left us.
Yeah, it's incredible how he's continuing to still bring people together that are going through some real struggles right now. And the ones that are stronger, because we're all broken to some degree, can help the weaker ones, and then they could take the torch and help the others, kind of finishing what David started, basically.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you just hit a point, truthfully, and a lot of people won't admit it, but to some extent, I mean, everybody is broken. I mean, you have, this life is not easy to live, and I think one of the things you have to have is strong faith, and
absolutely.
And you know, and then after that, you find little things that just make things a little easier. But I think faith is the biggest thing that we should have in our life, and you know, without that, it's not a good life. And, you know, so
that's absolutely true. And one of the wonderful last words of David was that he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that because of, you know, what he'd gone through in the past, that he is 100% a believer. And so that gives us a lot of comfort knowing that we'll see him again.
Exactly.
And we know that he won't be in any pain, and he'll be at the peak of his youth, and we'll like get to experience his music nonstop, and it's going to be a blast.
Oh, he's
for a lot of reasons, but definitely because he's there as well.
He's rocking up there. I know it.
Absolutely. You
know. Well, listen. Why don't you give? Why don't you give us the website?
I will do that. I do want to mention one other thing that I left out, and that for the first time ever that I know of, we had, and this will, I'm sure, be part of the celebration week as well, a celebration day. We had the first ever Partridge Family David Cassidy dance party, and it was a success. And we had people that just kind of wandered into the Spa City Tap and Barrel at the same time. And they wondered what this was all about, because they were in their 20s and they weren't exposed to David Cassidy, but they stayed because they enjoyed the music. So we're looking forward to more of that, and him appealing to people on a younger level as well as we go on. That is yet to be.
Yeah.
So getting back to how do we get to experience this incredible event that's coming up on August 14th, mm-hmm. You can get tickets. If you cannot make the event, you can still donate. You can become a sponsor. There is an incredible overhead in being able to pay for the audio equipment that makes it possible for this event to happen. Mm-hmm. So if somebody would like to be a sponsor, they can contact or get tickets. They can contact the following website at www.trfinc.org. That stands for Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, inc.org. And just look up special events, and there you will be with the August 14th event. And then you can also call them at 518-226-0028. And we look forward to seeing everybody there, including you. And it's going to be a spectacular evening.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a Tuesday evening, and that is a dark day at the track. So I will be
there.
That's right. I will be there.
Awesome.
And I hope
that's great.
I hope to see you, and I'm sure Sue will be there also. But it'll be nice to finally meet you. And it's always nice to meet a person that you've been conversing with for a while, so that the next time you talk or you text or whatever, you can put a face to the, you know, that, gee, I met her. And you know, now I know who I'm talking to.
And I think Emerson said it before, that if you're related, you will meet. And I feel like I know you really well, and I'm just looking forward to putting the icing on the cake by getting to shake your hand and give you a hug in person.
That's right. Well, your last name is D'Ambrosio, and my mother's maiden name was D'Agostino.
So, oh, okay, there you go. There's
somewhere along
already.
The line. Somewhere along the line, yeah, and you're really very easy to talk to, and a very nice person. You know, the conversations we had, so it'll be a pleasure to meet you. So we're looking at August 14th at the Horseshoe Inn, and that's located at 9 Gridley Avenue in Saratoga Springs, and the concerts will run from 8 to 10 p.m. And it will benefit the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, which is celebrating its 35th anniversary this year. So
they are, and they're an incredible group of people. Every single person is just phenomenal, and we're so blessed to be part of helping them as well and what their mission is in life. So.
We're blessed to have someone like you, believe me, and to do this, because, as we said in the beginning, his fan base is starting to grow a little more now than it had probably in the 80s or whatever. I think he's making a big comeback, and his music is being accepted by a lot of the younger people today, which is heartening. And
yes, it is. You can hear the words. And David has been wonderful at making comebacks.
Yes.
Like he's making another one after he even left,
and that's good. That's a true legacy of a person. So, look, I'll look forward to seeing you, and we'll talk before then, I'm sure. And
definitely. And you could count on us for the tickets, so you won't have to go ahead and buy your own.
No. I have to, because you know, I mean, it is a fundraiser. And like you said, it does take a lot to do the sound setup and that. And I'll get some friends also
that'll be wonderful.
To get there. And I will mention, I'm going to put up a little sign by my post about it too. So, you know, it's in a high profile location. So we'll get the news out up here too. Okay.
Yes, thank you for that. And we're looking forward to meeting you. And it's going to be a spectacular evening for sure.
It will be
incredibly memorable.
Okay, Linda, I want to thank you again. And we'll be talking, I'm sure, in the not too distant future. Okay.
Absolutely. It was wonderful spending time with you during this last, you know, half hour, hour.
Yeah.
And we look forward to meeting you in Saratoga Springs.
Okay. Take care.
You too. Thank
okay.
you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. We were with Linda D'Ambrosio, who's a really neat lady. And remember that concert on the 14th of August. So everyone have a great night, and we'll be talking to you soon.